Welcome to part two of host Jesse Tyler's conversation with John Durgan of King Arthur Baking Company and Gary Boutillier of Sirtronix. Like most of Jesse's guests, John and Gary are rank-and-file employees at their respective companies. Because they don't work in sound studios, there are a couple of places where the audio is not as clear as we'd like. And in a few spots, you'll even hear the paging system at one of the companies. We hope you agree that the quality of the conversation makes it worth overlooking any audio issues that there may be. And although you don't need to check out part one before hearing this episode, you may want to if you haven't already done so. In just a moment, part two begins with host Jesse Tyler.
Welcome to the Owner to Owner podcast with your host, Jesse Tyler, part of the EO Podcast Network.
It's interesting for me to see on the first morning of your first day, every other week we bring new associates in at Hypertherm, and we start with ownership right out of the gate and say, okay, we're New England's largest employee, 100% employee owned. We're probably 30th biggest in the country. Has anyone worked at an employee owned company? And occasionally, a couple times out of several hundred of our recent associates, have we had somebody that did have that experience. And when they do, I try to get them on board to help, and they can start and sort of explain what may or may not be different with the experience. And there's a lot to take in. It's their first morning. Most people don't sleep well. They're nervous. They're a little restless. And they sort of blink. They sort of maybe ask a couple of questions. But when we get them back 30 to 60 days later for the two-day intensive, it sounds like our companies do something very similar. It is completely wild to see how far into it some of them can be. And so what I start with on day one and just try to plant the seed is, it's one thing to say that you want your voice to matter at work. It's another thing to get used to the fact that it does matter right now. I know you just got here, but your voice matters. You're bringing fresh talents, fresh eyes, fresh ways to think of profitability and safety and speed and comfort and other things. And it's amazing because everyone has sort of a different pace to their journey. They're hiking that trail, but they're all at a slightly different pace. So it's very interesting to look at four new coworkers that some can just snap right into it, and others have had really hard experiences. And during COVID, and if you're willing to share your experiences from your companies, when we do cultural immersion, there's usually 12 to 15 people in a room. So during COVID, they're all at their own table, spaced. We do all the compliance. The CDC would be thrilled with how we manage it. And they have been bringing up how many of them experienced layoff that he'd never experienced before and never saw it coming. And we had a group recently, and I said, how many have experienced layoff? And more than half of the group raised their hand. And it was kind of wild. You know, somebody here, a new leader here that's just off to a ripping start, was at GE for 8 years, came in one day, and that was it. You know, many of these heartbreaking stories. And so some of them I see potentially taking a little bit longer to develop that trust for very understandable reasons. Do you have any insights or stories you want to share from being so active during both of your companies being so busy during COVID-19? Do you have insights on some of your coworkers and other experiences you can share? Sort of how COVID has affected some of the folks that you're bringing in. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting because like a lot of companies, fortunately, we did really well during COVID. And in some respects, personally, I feel bad that we did well as a company when so many people were hurting nationally. But we did have a lot of people moving from one department to another department that they never worked in before and where the need was. And while we did lose a few people as a company, company-wide, it was very, very minimal. And what's interesting is that we had people, say, who worked in the cafe kitchen for a long period of time, moved to the manufacturing building. Now they don't want to go back. And the kitchen hours were, for that kind of a deal, were great. You know, you're working from 8 until 5 and you're out. You know, the restaurant business, that's unheard of. But what we found was a lot of people liked the change. They liked the different rhythm or continuity. And they just like, maybe in manufacturing, it's more structured than it would be in a kitchen in some respects, because it's just more steady. And it sort of left a void as we started to build back in some departments because those folks didn't want to go back, and they don't have to. You know, it's as simple as that. So, and that happened in the bakery, and it happened in the pastry room, in the classrooms. We had people moving from one profession or skill set to something completely different and loving it. So it was an opportunity more than anything else for a lot of people internally here to try something new and see if they liked it. And most of them did.
That's great. Do you feel that King Arthur Baking is stronger from that movement of the employees around the company?
I do, because for a couple of reasons. Now we've got cross-trained people, and we've always tried to cross-train for various departments. But, you know, if we got in a real jam, we could pull people who have worked in manufacturing and put them someplace else and vice versa. And that's helped us a lot, so we can react a lot quicker. If we need bodies to fill packages in the warehouse, we can do that. So, and then I think the big thing is it's an opportunity for growth as on a personal level for these folks. To me, that's a bigger dividend than being able to have them do other things, because it shows that, A, the company cares and will gave them that opportunity to do something different. And it's that growth thing. And I think that internally pays, as an employee owner, dividends that are pretty hard to quantify.
I appreciate that. Thank you for sharing. Gary, do you have some insights from Sertronics you want to share?
I'm trying to think of how to. I mean, it was a rough 15 or 16 months. We had a lot of people working from home. And the things that make our culture, the things that make the culture in the companies that you guys work at, we weren't able to do. We weren't able to go out and adopt the highway and work in the soup kitchens and do the volunteer work that we did. We were basically in lockdown. Unless it was really essential, you didn't come into the facility. It was a very strange time for us. So I it's very difficult for me to give you any particular instances. I can't think of offhand.
Okay. Well, I'll share one from here if you're interested. We have about 1,000 people on campus across 10 buildings. And as things were evolving a year and a half ago very rapidly, there was, like other companies, there wasn't a lot of warning where the folks that could work remote or could be remote capable, even though that wasn't a common part of our culture before COVID-19, those folks were very quickly transitioned to working from home so that we could reduce the building occupancy and continue to fill orders for the equipment that we make and the consumables that we make. And so being here, associate experience, being on site, cross shifts, and talking with some of the remote people and staying in touch, what I observed is that for the folks that suddenly were remote, that was a real shock to them, and they weren't necessarily ready for it. Their leaders might not have been used to having disparate teams in different places and remote employees. And then for the folks on site, there was a lot of feelings about, why do you have me here if everyone else is gone? You know, why aren't I as important to them? So there's some very raw feelings on both sides. And as we have a return to work right now, we have 3 days a week that the remote capable are on site. There's still a lot to work through. And I've talked to other companies that have shared a similar sentiment. You know, how do you keep the connections between somebody standing at a machine who hasn't seen somebody else for a year and a half and doesn't necessarily have easy access to Teams or Zoom to have those connection points? You don't meet in the cafeteria and break bread and bust knuckles and tease each other. How do you do that when people are in different places? And so it's fascinating to see the definition of work evolving, and also how to build and keep that community when it's changing and ever changing. So if that triggers some thoughts for you, I just wanted to share a little bit of insight from our experience here at Hypertherm.
Well, we did have, and you triggered this with the conversation, Jesse. We did have Zooms where we'd have 8 or 10 of our account managers that were working from home all get together in a Zoom, and we'd see the video. And they'd put it on each of our computers so they could say hi. And really, I would really wish I was there. And you understand what they were. And that was kind of nice. I mean, you hadn't seen them for 2 or 3 months, and all of a sudden, you know, they're Zooming you, and they're doing it in a group format. And just kind of, it was kind of nice.
That's great. That's great. Well, I wanted to check with you. Is there something that each of your companies do really well on ownership and culture that you want to share? Just something that you call out you're particularly proud of. And this is an opportunity for other companies to hear your idea and maybe incorporate it into their own. Do you have something you want to share? King Arthur Baking, like, what's your best ownership culture activity or event that you'd like to talk about?
Well, you know, we do a lot of different ones. You know, we have an employee ownership culture committee. We call it the EOCC, which I was part of for a very long time. And then, as I mentioned earlier, I finally rolled off it, and we made it a little more structured, you know, with terms and things like that. And I think a number of things that we do, but, you know, in October is Employee Ownership Month nationally, and in the past, we've always had a big celebration. You know, we have the tent, we do it outdoors. And one of the things we really look forward to is the announcing the stock share price. And we make that a really big deal because, as I said, ESOPs are about retirement, right? In the end, there are a lot more than that, but that's the financial gain of it. So over the years, we do a number of different things to make it fun. So the big challenge during COVID was, how do we do this via Zoom? Because that's how we did it. You know, we closed all operations down when we have this celebration once a year. Everything is closed. The retail store closes early, so on and so forth. And with people working from all over the country now, like, you know, you folks have, we're trying to bring everyone together. So they were able to do that successfully. I think it's not the same as having a meal and having some drinks and having a big get together under the tent outside on a really nice day, but they're able to pull it off and announce the share price using one of the committee members' dogs. Had enough dogs in the right places with numbers to do the whole, to unveil the stock price. So it was fun and it was cute and it had meaning. But that's our big thing we do every year, but we have a lot of things that we do on a monthly basis. And they're always engaging, you know, employee owners throughout the company on different challenges and brain food classes, all sorts of neat stuff like that. So it's a long list of things that we do to keep people engaged. And there's not just fun things, but there's the educational component that they do. So our committee does a really good job because the culture committee is, as we've all discussed, is the important thing, right? Because without good culture, you really haven't got a good ESOP, in my opinion.
No, thanks for sharing that for King Arthur Baking Company. Gary, for Sertronics, what's something or a few things that you do at Sertronics you're really proud of, you want to share?
Well, what I'm getting from the both of you is the same thing that is a reality for us. If you really want your culture and your ESOP to thrive, it's a lot of work. It doesn't just happen. We have an ESOP committee and we have our rah-rah people. I'm one of the ESOP zealots. That on a weekly basis, I mean, we have a huge poster board that every employee sees when they walk in the building that reminds them, and our ESOP committee takes care of it, and it changes it on a regular basis, that reminds them of, you're an owner, and this is part of what we're doing as owners, you know? And yeah, we have regular parties, and we do the statement thing and all of that, but I really believe that to make your ESOP or your people understand how important ownership is and how critical it is to them as individuals and to the company, you have to work on it, at it on a regular weekly and monthly basis. And we do. We have, like I said, the umbrella thing. We have the puzzle thing. It changes on a regular basis. We have, I think there's 10 employees that are rotating on and off of this ESOP committee because we want fresh ideas and we want, you know, new blood in the system, if you will. And we'll do potluck. We'll do a pizza party. We meet out in the parking lot because of COVID. And while we're in the parking lot, there's a little hill that comes up to our facility. And we hear these noises outside. And it's the middle of summer. There's two ice cream trucks with a little, it's like, okay, it's hot. Go get ice cream. Here's your statements type of thing. I mean, we do try to do different
things. That's great. That's great. I want to ask you both. I'd love to hear from each of you. We like to ask about your EO aha moment. That moment for you personally where you started to realize, or for the first time realized, this ownership thing could be a big deal for me. If you're game to share that, we'd love to hear your EO aha moment.
I actually have two, and I thought about it when you talked, and I'm going to try to make them short. Our ESOP was 3 years old, and we would go regularly to the national ESOP in Washington. And we were asked to be a presenter to new ESOPs because people wanted to know how we got to where we were in 3 years. A lot of it was we did 3 years worth of work before we became an ESOP. And I was one of the presenters. So I'm in the Omni Hotel in Washington, this palatial hotel. I'm in a room with 200 people. And we had an HR person who was one of the presenters and our chief financial officer. So there were three of us. And I'm sweating. I'm nervous as heck. And Alex Moss is in the back of the room giving me the thumbs up. And when I started talking about what we were doing and who we were, it all just became very easy. And I realized, you know, being an owner is just a wonderful thing, okay? The second thing that happened to me was I went to my previous company, who was one of our customers. So it was myself as a technician and an engineer. And we were working with one of their technicians and one of their engineers. And we were learning a new system that they were going to bring into our company. Our company had just handed each of us a box of business cards. There were no titles on it. It said your name, it said Certronics, and up in the top left-hand corner, it said employee owner. Okay, so we exchanged cards. An hour later, I went to the bathroom, and the tech from my previous company said to my engineer, you know, I remember Gary when he was just a technician. He owns his own company now. The owner of my company was, she couldn't stop laughing when she heard that.
That's wonderful.
And that brought home to me, well, I kind of do own my own company. Maybe not in whole, but in part.
That's great. Thank you That's for sharing awesome. Both. John, can we hear your EO aha moment, please?
Yeah, you know, I remember it like yesterday, honest to God. So I started here as a seasonal, working during the busy season, as we call it. I was out in shipping, you know, shipping boxes and loading them into a UPS trailer, like a big game of Tetris. Really, that's what it was, because we didn't throw them in and we stacked everyone in there perfectly. So then when I came on full time, I started in receiving. And during pre-holidays, we were just jammed up. You know, we have all this product coming in to support the catalog sales and everything else. And the floor was so full, you couldn't change your mind. I mean, there was just no room. And I'd signed up for one of our core classes, and we were shorthanded. And I said to myself, you know, as a good employee owner, I'm not going to go to this class. I'm telling myself this. And because look at this place, it's a mess, right? This needs to be done for the good of everybody, right? Pulling on the rope in the same direction. And my team leader came over to me and he says, you know, you've got a class you need to be going to here pretty quick. And I said, well, you know, Ken, I don't think I'm going to go. I said, look at this place. He goes, no. He says, let me tell you, these classes are set up. You need to go to this class. It's that important for you to become a good employee owner. This is part of the deal. So I said, okay, I will. Well, then I looked up, you know what the class was? Baking 101. It wasn't like how to make a pie crust. It wasn't like the financial literacy course or anything like that. It was baking 101. So down I went to the classroom and learned baking 101, you know. But the point to me was made that forget all this mess. It's going to get taken care of. This class is important because it's one of the many that you need to take, and you need to go to it. So then that's when it was like, boy, they take this stuff really seriously here, don't they? So
that's great.
That was when the light bulb, that was my light bulb moment.
Excellent. Light bulb and pie crust. That's great. So I just want to take a moment. Is there something you'd like to share about ownership that we didn't talk about? Is there something that you were hoping to share or speak to? I want to give an opportunity for both of you. You don't have to have something. I just want to open the door for you.
Gary, you got something?
Oh, I'm thinking about it. And the other thing I can think of, and this is something that it seems to spread around here at Certronics. Ownership creates servitude. It nurtures servitude. If you have an ESOP, it's done right, and owners embrace it. They help each other. You become a servant to the company and to other owners. I think that I have observed that growing stronger and stronger and stronger as our ESOP grew. It's my opinion.
Thank you.
Yeah, for me, you know, we've covered a lot of stuff, but you know, we sort of touched base on the retirement aspect of it. And what I find is that the closer I get to those days, you know, you obviously pay attention to how things are going and how the company's been doing and your shares and so on and so forth, and how important that is to somehow make sure that the new folks coming in understand that, especially the young ones, because, you know, I've got some younger kids and they don't think about that, you know, like I think they should. You know, that's going to happen down the road. They don't have to worry about it. Well, the reality is, you know, working for an ESOP to build retirement wealth is so important, and having the right attitude and making sure that these new owners understand that directly affects, you know, their time at the end, so to speak, when they want to leave and take whatever's in their share account, whether they're fully vested or just partially invested. That's real money, you know, and by doing their due diligence, it helps them and it helps me and everyone else. You know, we talk about the culture and how important it is, because it really does affect the, I hate to use the word the end, but you know, when someone chooses to leave the company, that's when you see the financial benefits for the retirement component. And that's what ESOPs are about. It's just, it's a retirement vehicle, but they're so much more when it comes to thinking like an owner and what that brings.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. So I want to finish with an opportunity for you to promote your company. So in these times where it's very challenging to find new employees to bring in and regenerate your companies, I just wanted to give you an opportunity in a couple sentences. Somebody looking for a job, here's this podcast. Why should somebody come work at King Arthur Baking? Why should they come and work at Certronics? This is your chance to speak directly to them. Whoever wants to go first. I'll call on Gary to go
all
first.
Right. What I think most of our new employees that have been here for a week, a month, or a year will tell you, when you walk in the door at Certronics, it is a family atmosphere, and you feel that family atmosphere. We work at taking care of you. Yeah, it's a high-tech company. We do robotics. We do high-tech medical. We do very, very exotic things. The world's smallest implantable heart pump. Don't worry about what you will be doing. When we hire an individual, we hire them because we believe in the potential and the talent that they have. And what we hire you for, you may not be doing a year from now. But we take care of you from the time you walk in the door. Right? John, you start here tomorrow, your family. That is Certronics in a nutshell.
Thank you.
You know, for at King Arthur Baking, you know, we've been an employee-owned since 96, 100% owned since 2004. And like a lot of other employee-owned companies that have been around a while, they're around because they do a lot of things right. And one thing that I feel our company does is they you know, they care for you. I mean, I'm looking at a list of notes I made. I could go on and on and on. There's a lot of things that we do. You know, I mean, yeah, you get, you know, all these perks. You get to gain an average of 5 pounds working here if you're in the region of bread, but it's consistent at the very least. But they do, they really, I feel cared for. And I feel like I'm working with my friends. You know, and it's hard to describe. You come in, I enjoy going to work every day. And I've done a lot of things in previous lives, you know, for long periods of time. I spent 23 years in the automotive business, you know, and I never felt this way before. I mean, I enjoy coming to work. I enjoy the camaraderie. I enjoy the rewards and just the feeling that, you know, I really do matter. And I think that you don't get that with a normal company. Once you get your arms around the ownership thing, then you can start to understand and see how it works and how it can impact not just you, but your life. You know, I have a lot of friends and family, and I know a lot of them can't say, I enjoy going to work every day. You know, mm-hmm. They go to work every day. They do a good job, but it's completely different. And I know that, you know, this company, King Arthur, really goes, I think, above and beyond to make you feel important and welcome. You know, and all they ask for you in return is to do a good job and have a decent attitude when you come in. You know, and like Gary said, you can come in and start in receiving and may wind up, you know, in flower sales. We don't know. You know, the sky's the limit. The opportunity is there, and it's there for what you want to make it. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's a great place to work. Totally.
That's awesome. Thank you both for sharing that. So I want to say thanks to John Durgan from King Arthur Baking Company, Gary Battelier from Certronics. Really appreciate your openness and sharing your experiences and ownership and sharing your companies. I really appreciate it. Thanks for your time today.
All right, Jesse. Thank you. All right, Gary, take care.
Take care, John.
Thanks, everybody. Take care.
We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at EO Podcast Network. This podcast has been produced by Brett Kiesling for the EO Podcast Network. Production assistance by Victoria Huerta. Original music composed by Max Kiesling. Branding and marketing by Bitsy Plus Design. And I'm Bitsy McCann.